Ramsey TV.
Sometimes the truth is just plain depressing. And this is one of those times. So I'm not very animated today. Don't feel very good about anything, I'm going to say. Not inspired. Not at all. But I will follow my own advice. The advice I give other people is don't wait till you're inspired. Just do it. And the Spirit of God that is behind it will speak. Especially when you're reading Scripture, which is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to 1 Kings chapter 22. Last week or the week before, I made a 6-part series called Sex with the Devil about how Satan is putting forth lies to the world via the most unlikely vehicle you can imagine, which is an organization that names the name of Christ. It's an illicit union, it's a false Christ, but the Satan is real. The Christ that is worshipped by the Christian religion is false. I wrote a newsletter of the same title, Sex with the Devil. This is a very serious matter because hundreds of millions of people are deceived by deceiving spirits in the mouths of the leaders of the church. And we get a rare glimpse behind the scenes into spiritual activity that is manifested quite anonymously on the earth via church councils, via those who wear the mantle of God's people, but who are in fact not God's people. They are the people of Satan. And the reason that is not obvious is because Satan is not obvious. He's subtle. He's a deceiver. He's a serpent. He's sly. He comes in through the back door, not the front door. And 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he's disguised as a messenger of light. Now listen to this. I'm in 1 Kings chapter 22, and I'm reading here from the concordant version of the Old Testament. It came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went down to the king of Israel. Of course, we know the kingdom was split after the days of Solomon, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Northern kingdom of Israel, southern kingdom of Judah. One in Samaria, one in Jerusalem. Each kingdom had a king. That's some of the background. It came to pass in the third year of what? I don't know and I don't care. Because it doesn't matter. It came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went down to the king of Israel. Now the king of Israel said to his officials, "Do you know that Ramoth Gilead is ours?" Here we go. Israel and Judah, hawkish, wanting to attack the enemies, their enemies. Israel was like this when they came out of the wilderness. They wanted to attack. And God was very disciplined about it, and he required that they be disciplined about it, but they really don't want to be disciplined, and they don't listen very well. King of Israel said, "Ramoth Gilead is ours, yet we are inactive. We refrain from taking it out of the hand of the king of Syria." So he said to Jehoshaphat, "Are you going with me to the battle at Ramoth Gilead? There's one thing that'll bring the king of Israel together with the king of Judah, who had a natural repulsion to each other, a natural animosity, they're brought together by the prospect of war and taking more territory. Jehoshaphat replied to the king of Israel, "I likewise, such as you, my people likewise, such as your people, my horses likewise, such as your horses." In other words, my horses are your horses, my people are your people. We are united. We are a unified front against Ramoth-Gilead and the king of Syria. Jehoshaphat also said to the king of Israel, "I pray, inquire today for the word of Yahweh." Well, isn't that nice? They decide, well, maybe we should inquire of the Lord. But this is pretense. This is not sincere. This is going through the motions, as we will see. Because they already have their minds made up. This is the way of organized religious powers. They have their minds made up, and they only want prophets, they only want teaching, and they only want words that confirm their previously constructed biases. Yes, they already know what they want to do, they already know what they want, they already know their heart's desire, and so it's a mere formality, not even a formality. It's a vain enterprise. Inquire today for the word of Yahweh. So the king of Israel convened the prophets. Oh yes, and keep in mind, we are with the king of Israel and the king of Judah. These are the people, and the only people, to whom God revealed truth. These are the progeny of Abraham via Isaac. These are the people of God. And these are the only people on the planet with the scriptures, the only people God inspired to write his holy counsels. They convened the prophets, about 400 men, and he said to them, "Shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead for battle, or should I forbear?" Yes or no is the question asked of 400 prophets. How these men came to be prophets, I don't know. Probably from kissing ass, I'm guessing. They replied, that is the 400 prophets, "Yahweh shall give it into the king's hand." Short and sweet. Nice little prophecy. Except it's not a prophecy. It's sucking up to the kings. Yet Jehoshaphat said, he had an ounce of sense here, now kicking in verse 7 of 1 Kings chapter 22. Jehoshaphat said, "Is there no other prophet of Yahweh here that we may inquire through him?" 400 is not enough. I think Jehoshaphat sensed that maybe we better dig a little deeper. First ounce of common sense. The king of Israel replied to Jehoshaphat, "There's one more man through whom to inquire of Yahweh, yet I hate him." I'm reading from the Concordant version of the Old Testament. Yes, there is one more man through whom to inquire of Yahweh, but I hate him, for at no time has he prophesied good for me. And this is always the mainstream religious concern, and that is, what is good for me? Am I chosen of God? Am I saved? What about me? What is my destiny? What about my walk? It is self-focused and always will be in mainstream religion. They really don't care about the words of Yahweh. They only act like they do. And they'll call all the prophets, 400, wow, that's a big number, 400 prophets. Yet they're all institutionally accepted, institutionally trained, handpicked to be lapdogs to the kings. Sycophants. I hate this man, for at no time has he prophesied good for me, but rather evil. Micaiah, son of Imlah. Jehoshaphat answered, the king must not speak thus. Then the king of Israel called a certain court official and said, do bring Micaiah, son of Imlah, quickly. The king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, being clothed in their royal robes, of course. That's the main thing, you know, how you look. We're each sitting on his throne, naturally. That fits perfect with this man has never prophesied good concerning me. Self-interest, royal robes, and a throne. All the trappings of godliness, yet without the interest in God, the real God, the true God, isn't that tragically fascinating? The king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, being clothed in their royal robes, were sitting each on his throne at the threshing site by the portal of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets before them feigned themselves prophets. I'm reading the Bible. All the prophets before them feigned themselves prophets. They fancied themselves prophets is a modern way of saying that. They liked the office of prophet. They liked the cachet, they liked the reputation, they loved the honor, just like the priests in Jesus's day loved the honor, loved going among the people and being the object of awe and reverence because of their position. That they confirmed upon themselves. Zedekiah, son of Chenaanah, made for himself horns of iron. Now we're seeing the theatrics. Here's another feigned prophet. Zedekiah, son of Chenaanah, made for himself horns of iron. This is the theatrics. This is the Hollywood. This is the Las Vegas stage show. This is the lounge at Caesar's Palace, and watch this production. Zedekiah made for himself horns of iron and said, thus speaks Yahweh, with these you shall gore Syria unto their finish. That was met with great fanfare. All the prophets were prophesying so. Everybody was of one voice, saying, march up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper. Sounds like a prosperity teaching. It is. It's a prosperity teaching. The prosperity teachers today, from Joyce Meyer to Joel Osteen to, I don't even want to think of their names, prosperity preachers. They see nothing but prosperity because they're looking for nothing but prosperity. They're not looking to the words of God. They're not looking to the words of Yahweh. They're not looking to the words of Paul in Romans 8 when he talks about believers being in famine, under the sword, naked, persecuted. They don't look at the life of Paul being the offscouring of all things, a man who was stoned, beaten by his own people. Not interested in that. Interested in prospering, personal prosperity. This is evil. It is a great deception. It steers one further into self. It doesn't want to hear a word of evil, and it certainly doesn't believe, can't believe, that God created evil, which another unpopular prophet said, Isaiah the prophet in chapter 45, verse 7, speaking for God under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I, Yahweh Elohim, maker of good and creator of evil. I, Yahweh Elohim, do all these things. You're never going to hear that on Joel Osteen's Las Vegas production, are you? No. Yahweh will give it into the king's hand. How dare you speak in the name of Yahweh, when in fact you're speaking in your own name as a feigned prophet. How dare you? I do not want to be you, Zedekiah, at the great white throne judgment. I do not want to be you, Joel Osteen, at the great white throne judgment. I don't want to be you, Joyce Meyer, at the great white throne judgment. And all the rest. The messenger who had gone to call Micaiah spoke to him. They went to get that one more prophet. Let's just hear from this guy, even though I hate him. He's known for speaking evil and not good. Well, maybe he's known for telling the truth. And maybe there was a little prick in the conscience of Jehoshaphat saying, maybe we should just call this guy. The messenger who went to get him spoke to him saying, behold, I pray. Behold, the words of the prophets with one mouth are well-pleasing to the king. Well-pleasing. I pray, let your words become like one word with them. In other words, don't rock the boat, Micaiah. We're sailing along smoothly out here in the throne room. I warn you, let your word be as the words of the 400 feigned prophets who fancy themselves spokespeople of Yahweh, but who are actually spokespeople of their own self-interests and the self-interests of the kings of Judah and Israel. Yet Micaiah replied, as Yahweh lives, what Yahweh should say to me, this is it that I shall speak. Pretty adamant there. I don't care what you say, I will speak the words of Yahweh. When he came to the king, then the king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall we forbear? Now this is curious in verse 15. It's almost like he was nervous in the courtroom and he was intimidated by, I should say, the throne room, and he was intimidated by the dignitaries there. Oh, because the pomp and circumstance of religion can be quite intimidating, and all the diplomas and the awards and the television cameras and the YouTube views and the approval of presidents and kings. Very intimidating. Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead or forbear? He replied to him, march up and prosper. Yahweh will give it into the king's hand. Now the king, perhaps being an astute student of human nature, perhaps being a reader of body language, maybe having a hunch, I don't know. But the king said to him, how many times have I been adjuring you that you should speak to me nothing but the truth? in the name of Yahweh. Nothing but the truth. And apparently, he had adjured him in the past to speak nothing but the truth, because the truth often sucks short term. The truth sucks short term. Long term, it's the only thing. You have to hold on to the truth no matter what it costs you today. Because in the long term, it's gold. In the long term, there's nothing better than truth. In the short term, it's tough, it's difficult, and it's potentially depressing, which it's doing to me today. How many times have I been telling you, you should speak to me nothing but the truth in the name of Yahweh? And then he replied, because he knew he had been found out. And so here comes the word of Yahweh. He replied and said, I saw all Israel scattered over the mountains like a flock of sheep that have no shepherd. Yeah, that is right. No shepherd. These kings of Israel, no shepherds were they. The king of Judah, no shepherd. Israel, the blind, following the blind, are scattered on the mountain. I saw Israel scattered over the mountains like a flock of sheep that have no shepherd. Yet Yahweh said, these have no Lord. This is what Yahweh said through Micaiah. These, the people of Israel, have no Lord. Speaking relatively, not absolutely, because the people who were leading them were certainly not their lords. Lord in the generic sense. Lord as one who owns them, one who cares for them, like a shepherd who cares for their well-being. No, not these people. They cared about their own well-being. Then Micaiah said, let each man return to his home in peace. In other words, the best thing you can do is everybody go home. Don't go to war with Ramoth Gilead. Leave the king of Assyria alone, because if you do, I see you all scattered. At this, the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you that at no time he prophesied good for me, but rather evil? I told you. Yep, here he goes again. Nothing but evil, this guy. What a killjoy. What a buzzkill. Micaiah, the great prophet. And yet the only true prophet. Micaiah heard that and he said, not so. Hear the word of Yahweh. Here it comes. Listen to this. This is mind-boggling. God is parting the curtain for us to see behind the scenes into what was really happening with the 400 prophets of Israel and Judah. Hear the word of Yahweh. I saw Yahweh sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing by him to his right and to his left. Yahweh said, who shall entice Ahab, Ahab the king of Israel? Who shall entice Ahab so that he may march up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? Because it was God's intention for Israel to fall at Ramoth Gilead. Because God disciplines those he loves, those he calls. And he had forsworn in his counsels that Israel would be defeated at Ramoth Gilead. But how to get them to go? How to get them to go? Yahweh said, who shall entice? We're looking behind the scenes in the celestial vaults here, the celestial throne room. And this is real. This happened. And Micaiah got a view into a secret world that we're getting a view into. An amazing privilege here. And of all places, 1 Kings chapter 22. And is it applicable today? Oh, is it ever applicable today? Yahweh said, who shall entice Ahab that he should march up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? It's God's intention for Israel to fall. Now this one said thus, and another was saying thus. Then a spirit came forth, stood before Yahweh and said, I myself shall entice him. Yahweh asked him, by what means will you entice him? He replied, I shall go forth and I will become a false spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. Then Yahweh said, you shall entice, and moreover, you shall prevail. Go forth and do so. And then Micaiah, after testifying to this amazing backstage glance into truth, turned to the kings and said, "And now behold, Yahweh has bestowed a false spirit into the mouths of all these," as he gestures to the 400. "Yahweh has bestowed a false spirit into the mouth of all these your prophets, for Yahweh himself has decreed evil concerning you." I want to finish a postscript to that passage tomorrow. But look at the parallel today. This is God's modus operandi. He sends spirits where he will, as he will. And we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that there will be a great deception. And that we know that there was there, Paul prophesied in 2 Timothy chapter 3 of an apostasy that would take over those who were proclaiming the very name of Christ. And there is today false, lying spirits in the mouths of the pastors and the priests and the prosperity preachers. There has been a spirit dispatched from God, and God is in charge of all of this, dispatched from God into religion to be a lying spirit, saying things that ought not to be uttered, that God will eternally torment most of his creation, that Jesus Christ, although he tried valiantly at the cross, failed to save everyone because a majority of the human race will burn in hell forever. There has been a lying spirit sent by God into the mouths, the very mouths of the pastors and the priests in Christianity, that lie, that speak blasphemous hypocrisies, saying that God is in control of his universe, but at the same time granting each human a free sovereign will to either choose or reject God and to themselves determine their fate. Their fate is not determined by Christ on the cross, but determined by them. This is a lie, and it has come via lying spirits into the mouths of the robed, of the pious, of the enthroned, the self-enthroned, the feigned teachers, who have no authority to teach from God, but who are the mouthpieces of lies in order that they may fall. We're going to see tomorrow that these kings fell at Ramoth Gilead, as God wanted them to. Those who adhere to the false teachings in Christianity are destined to fall. I'm not a prophet, but I'm a voice in the wilderness saying to these people, you are going to fall. And this is a word from God. You are going to fall. But I'm one guy, and they are hundreds. They are thousands. They are hundreds of thousands speaking as one voice, that God is a failure and Jesus Christ is a failure, all the while dressing it up in righteous language. And they are heaping up for themselves teachers in accord with their own desires, 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is exactly what the king of Israel and the king of Judah did. They heaped up for themselves prophets in accord with their own desires. Will anyone hear the one voice calling out in the wilderness?